Florida having a few technical issues here this morning, but this is Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. And we will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. It is a blessing to be here with you. Greet you in the name of the Most High God and his Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. That we worship and praise, and we give thanks to God Almighty for his free gift of salvation. Amen. And we're going to talk about that a little today. But amen, before we get started, we're going to go right ahead and, as it is our custom, and have a word of prayer. Amen. Think about all your friends, neighbors, relatives, those who are sick, those who are mourning, whatever the case is, even your enemies, and lift up prayer to Almighty God. Amen. We have the privilege of prayer to speak on earth and be heard of the Almighty in heaven through the blood of his Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that. Y'all know I keep saying this. One of my favorite songs is, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah. So let's give him praise. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today, Father, for the privilege of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for all your mercy and your grace. Father, we lift up praise to your name. We exalt you to the highest, oh God, because you are excellent and you're worthy of all praise. Father, we come asking for the forgiveness of sin, oh God, for ourselves. And Lord, please help this awful nation that we live in, Lord God. Take the veil of sickness off of their mind, Lord God, especially those in power and high office, oh God, who lie like they breathe. Oh God, bless them with forgiveness today. Give them conviction today in every party, Lord God, of this corrupted government under which we live. Lord God, we just lift them up right now. And Father, we pray for every home and every family that's represented here. And Father, we thank you for this privilege of prayer. Lord God, and we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, as many people are today in this culture that we live in. But Father, you said those who would be ashamed of you, you would also be ashamed of them when they stand before you, oh God, on that day of judgment. So Father, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We exalt and praise his holy name because you sent him to be the only mediator between God and men. Father, we accept that and understand that without him, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we praise the name of Jesus. Father, so many seem to be ashamed of Christ. And I feel sorry for them if they don't repent, Lord God, because he will be ashamed of them on judgment day. So, Father, right now we openly praise the Lord Jesus, your Son. We lift him up and exalt him. He is the mighty King, oh God, and we give him all praise and all glory. And Father, we ask you today to wash us of our sins, cleanse our mind, cleanse our intentions, cleanse our heart, oh God. Help us to speak freely the gospel of your Son, Father, so that many will hear it and understand today. Father, we pray for those who are mourning and grieving. We pray thanks, Lord God, for those who have been healed. Hallelujah. Thank you for those who have been healed. And Father, we give you a praise to your name that you have just worked in the midst of this tragic situation that's going on around this planet, Lord God, to spare many. Oh, God, and we thank you that you so far have spared us, Lord God, of the plague that has come upon this world, oh, God. And, Father, we ask you today for a special dose of understanding. Father, we need to hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Father, prepare hearts, minds, and lives today that they might receive a word from on high. And, Father, for that, we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. And all the saints all said together, amen. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for another day's journey. I want to say God bless all our mothers. Amen. We know we miss everybody in the church family. And so we just want to ask God's grace and blessing on all of you today. We will be getting together soon, and very soon, the Lord says. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go right ahead. Now, I want to talk with you today on a particular subject that was put in my spirit to address today, because I get a little bit distraught when I see how things are going in the blessed land. I would say America is the blessed land right now. Don't know how long that will continue, because as we can see in biblical history, which is the history of the whole world all the way from the creation up until this very moment, We see that kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. God raises them up and he sets them down. And so I think we are still in that process. And I don't pronounce any condemnation because I don't know. That's not my duty. My duty is to go and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever he has commanded us. That's what we would call the book, the Holy Bible, God's Word, which is the only authoritative word that there is. And so we want to teach the world to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. Amen. So that's our privilege and our opportunity to present the gospel, the good news that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And we are so thankful for just that fact. And so we want to present that. So we're not here trying to judge the world or any of that, because that's not our forte. But I do want to say on that note that what God has called those of us who trust and believe in the name of his Son, Jesus put it this way, and I'll just go ahead and let the cat out the bag. I want to talk on the subject of a city set up on a hill. Hallelujah. A city set up on a hill. Hallelujah. That's who you and I have been called to be if you are a believer of the gospel. So the mindset of the faithful has always been one of looking in the direction of God, and that God has set according to his plan, which he has always directed the believer to trust the heavenly things of God over anything or anyone on earth. That's my premise statement. You know, we are to be trusting in him, the things that he sets before us. The definition of faith is that it is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And God has provided such evidence throughout the ages to everyone who he has called. And you know what else? You wouldn't come to God unless he called you. You know, you have to be called by God to come to God. The scripture says those who whom he has called, them he also foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. So our election and our calling by God is an important thing. And I want you to know this. You may be hearing that and saying, well, how do I know he's calling me? Or maybe you don't feel that he has called you. And I want you to know right now, Jesus said it in so many places in the Word, that is his desire that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth. He loves all people. God has set his love for you. He loves you just like you are. A lot of times we disqualify ourselves from God's call. We try to make another set of standards other than the ones that God has made in his word. So I want you to know Jesus did come for you. And today the scripture says, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He loves you and he has done something for you that we know, those of us who know him, know it is a fabulous thing that he has done. It's the most awesome thing that has ever happened to me. I want to give a personal testimony. And he wants it to be the same for you. He wants you to know that he has loved you with an everlasting love, that he has given his son, Jesus, the Messiah, to pay the debt for your sin. And that if you simply trust him, that's what faith is the trusting that God has done exactly what he promised. It's the Bible says, if you believe in him, you shall be saved. And so that's great news. We come with good news. I don't have bad news. It may sound like bad news. If the devil is hearing it, it's bad news for him, because he wants to keep you locked up in a pattern of sin that you think you can't get out of, and that you don't understand that God has power and will give you power to prevail over your sin. Amen. You know, and he'll do it instantly. He's already shown his love up front by giving you Jesus, his son. And he configured the world around him so you could easily trust him and believe in him. Now, you know, as simple as that is and as true as that is, the fact that it's 2020 based on the fact that Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, was born 2,020 years ago, and the world has been divided and counting time based on his first coming, which at this point is the most important event that's ever happened in the history of humanity. You know, the first coming of Christ, and the second coming is going to even be more cataclysmic. But he did that and set him in time so that it will be easy for everyone to put their trust in him. Even though there are people today who are ashamed of the gospel, they're ashamed to talk about Christ. You will hear them talk about God because they want to talk about God, but they do not want to talk about Jesus. And the dividing line to whether you even know God is, have you trusted in Jesus, the Christ? He is the Son of God, who is equal to God the Father, as is the Holy Spirit. And he came into time in order to do a work for me and you that no one else could do, and that is to pay the atonement. Now, a lot of people are talking today about Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I hear this in a lot of people's conversations. And they're going on about trying to do something to atone for their sin. The truth of the matter is, beloved, God has already atoned for the sin of whosoever believes in him. People who are going about that practice have denied the gospel. And so you and I need to understand that God was satisfied when Jesus Christ was crucified. Christ crucified, God satisfied. That's what I want to tell you right now. And you know what satisfied means? There's no need for any further sacrifice. Any further sacrifice would be to deny the blood of Jesus. And so don't let people trip you up with a bunch of ritualistic stuff, because rituals will never make you right with God. They have never made anyone right with God, not at any time. They were to be practiced as an obedience to God, but now God has openly and fully and completely revealed the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who has paid the bill for sin once for all. And he paid your bill as well if you simply believe in him. Now, sometimes, you know, and I have to admit, it was difficult for me. I thought, oh, that dude sounds too good. How can God accept a wretched sinner who has broken his law, who really still has trouble in his mind dealing and grappling with sin problems? You know what? You don't hear a lot of talk about sin. People want to talk about God. They want to talk about other stuff. You very seldom ever hear righteousness mentioned in the culture today, in the normal discourse of the culture. You only hear that if you happen to go to a church that's preaching the word. Very few people are discussing righteousness. That's not really a big subject on anybody's mind. You know, it ought to be, but it isn't. We got all kinds of folks, and I'm going to show you that. I want you to see in the spirit today that God has said, you are a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. People may want to put you down, cast you aside, but God says, the work I'm doing in your life, it cannot be hid. And so people can see something in you. And he said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus himself said. And he went about showing off good works because he was, in fact, God the Son, and who had come in human flesh in order to deliver men from the curse of sin, because no one else could do it. That's the reality. There were religious factions in that day. Scribes, Pharisees, Essenes, Zealots, different denominations, if you will, of Jews who were running the culture in Israel at the time Jesus was born. And the fact was, they argued among themselves about which group was right and which one was the most righteous, and which one really understood the truth. Some of them said, oh, you know, we accept the law of Moses, but we don't believe the prophets or the Psalms. Some of them said, oh, we believe the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And they were divided up about what was really true. And so that confusion that was there is the same kind of confusion, frankly, that you and I have today. We got folks arguing over whether Dems or Republicans are, or socialists, or whoever kind of different political factions here are better, one or the other. And the fact is, all of them are no good if they don't support the truth of God. That's the truth. You know what? There were people there in Israel fighting over whether, should I follow the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever. And some people had gotten disconnected from the whole thing because they were sacked, really tired of so much hearing about a bunch of stuff, and it wasn't working for them. Their lives weren't getting any better. That's why you have scenes like John chapter 5 where there were people down at the pool of Bethesda. Why would you go down there to this mystical pool, and the folks who know God are up there at the temple? Well, the truth is, they thought, oh, over here, there's an angel that's going to come and trouble the waters. And y'all read that, some of y'all, about John chapter 5. And so they were over there waiting on some miraculous thing to happen to deliver them from the oppression, the sicknesses of their body, all those kind of things. But it wasn't at the so-called level where the people who were in charge had anything to do with it. John was baptizing in the wilderness. And they came down. What is he doing? All these people are following him. He seems to have a political movement going on down there. Let's go check it out. Comes down there, John says, you brood of vipers. You know, he called the religious people who were supposed to be in charge of the city a brood of vipers because they were full of poison. And they came down there with a phony righteousness asking him, what is he doing and why are you baptizing? And the truth was, the people who really knew God were kind of embedded into the culture. They weren't up there. They were going. A lot of folks were still going up there. There were people who thought it was really fancy to be connected with the scribes and the Pharisees, either one of those, you see, and the Levites and all the people who were running everything back at that time. So let me just simplify this and try to get us into this word here, because what I want you to see is that politics, no matter what it is, whether it's religious politics, there's plenty of that that still goes on today. I'm amazed how much religious politics goes on apart from regular politics, which all of it is corrupted, every bit of it. Nobody does things perfectly right. There are liars in every group, liars within people who call themselves the religious circles. There are people who have abandoned the gospel. And so you and I need to really keep our minds focused on God's word. The word, the Bible says, will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And brothers and sisters, we need that right now because we're in critical times and America's on a bad course. And I'm not looking for any Dems or any Republicans or any socialists or any of them to be what we need in difficult times like this. Now, we do have to have them. I guess they have to be there. But the fact is, why would we trust in them? Why are people saying that they believe God and they're not directing the saints? Get in God's word. Walk in the truth. Why are they saying this political party is wonderful or that political party is wonderful? When the truth is, both parties are shot through and through along with every other kind. There is no human solution for the mess that's going on in this country. There's only one solution, and his name is Jesus. And I want to make you understand today, if you don't already, Christ Jesus is the answer to every problem that you're having. He's the only one going to give you what you need in troubled times like this. And so don't let the smooth taste fool you. Some of these folks are trying to give you a song and a dance, but they won't be able to really help you. So don't get hung up in that. I hear so many people talking about it today. You know, but both parties, just as they were back then, and all through the scripture, are corrupted through and through. Many of them are ashamed of the gospel. They don't think that the scripture is an answer, obviously, because we threw that out years ago in American culture. Hey, let's get the Bible out. That's what's wrong. That's why y'all jacked up right now, because you threw God out of the center of the culture. Nobody today, even all these folks saying they're evangelical and all kind of whatever, jello code. I put some jello in there because that's about what it's like. You are definitely full of jello if you don't pronounce that Christ is the only way and the only Savior. The scripture is about Jesus Christ. He is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let me get back in my lesson here and get off my soapbox. So what I want you to see here today is that the book of Hebrews, and this is kind of a side lesson, reflects the fact that we want to notice that the beginning of this book, it reflects this fact that Hebrews does. Look at it. 40 verses in the book of Hebrews. We'll talk about as much of it as we can fit into the period today. But I want you to read it yourself with this kind of a mindset. Understanding that faith, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So that's what you and I need. We need to connect with the things not seen. And faith is believing those things God has said, even though you don't necessarily see it. You may not see it when you go down to City Hall. You may not see it when you go up to D.C. And notice this, I did this myself just for study. Look at all the kingdoms that are out here in the world. There's a couple of websites you can Google it and find out. You'll find kingdoms from A to Z. And all the way from, I forget what the first one was, the last one on the list was Zimbabwe and where they are led from. But I want you to know the gospel of God comes out of heaven and is to penetrate all the kingdoms of this world, not just America. You see, not just America's not the final product of what God is trying to do. It's one of many nations that will also enter into battle against God in the latter days. And the saints of God, those who trust and believe in the gospel, are the ones who will be persevering during that time. And so you and I need to wake up, smell the coffee, realize this. So we're going to look at that as much as we can see here in the time that we have this morning. So this is what I want you to see starting at the beginning. And the first witness that's mentioned there is Abel, who was slain by Cain, his own brother. So all the way back, there's been conflict, murder, and all of that, even within the family, even among brothers. We can see that. That shows you the ugliness of sin. That sin has always been ugly and it always will until it's completely eradicated. Jesus dealt with it on the cross so that whoever believes in him does not have to suffer the ultimate penalty of sin, which is death, But you will have everlasting life by faith in him if you believe that God has raised him from the dead. And his resurrection is the proof that he is the only one who is worthy and the only one that is able to pay the sin debt that you and I have. And so that's the crucial thing, and that's why he is the one who is opposed. You find in the Bible that there is an antichrist, there is no anti-God, because people always want to talk about God, they say. But you don't know God at all if you do not know Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one. And either he's telling the truth or he's not, you believe him or you don't. No one can come to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said. So people who are ashamed to own me before men, he said, I will also be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. So it's not politically correct, if you will, to talk about the man, Jesus Christ, who is also the only begotten Son of God. He is God the Son who existed in eternity from the beginning, and he was with God. That's what John says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the prologue of John's Gospel. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, speaking of Jesus. And without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we see the Scripture presents Jesus as the eternal Son of God, who was with him in the beginning, who came in and says in verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God the Son, who came out of eternity, who was face to face with the Father, who made all things, and without him there wasn't made anything that was made, everything that exists, he made it, came into the flesh 2,020 years ago, was born in the world. We would call that the first Christmas, as I mentioned earlier, the most important event in the history of time that has ever happened thus far is the birth of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And so what I want you to understand here this morning is that we cannot deny Jesus and hope to have any kind of an actual success. And it doesn't make any difference who you are, the high and the mighty, the kings and the rulers, the presidents and the senators and the Congress and all of them. Everybody needs Jesus. You will not make it without him. If you're ashamed of him, you know something? He's ashamed of you. I need to serve your notice right now. And you need him. He does not need you. But you do need him, and you need to repent and trust in him. When you do that, then you're going to be on the right track. And then maybe you can stop lying and stop promising stuff you can't do and stop having a power trip about who you are and what you think you can do for the world apart from him. Because without him, you can't do anything. Let me get back in my text. So I want you to see here that starting with Abel, who was put to death for righteousness' sake, that it was a situation all the way back then, at that time, that shows you the ugliness of sin, and it shows you that even between brothers, blood brothers, that there can be a misunderstanding from a spiritual perspective. Abel acknowledged God. It was the difference, and that's why his brother Cain, who was the firstborn, hated him, see, and put him to death. And y'all have read that before. So the book of Hebrews starts right in that thing when it starts to discuss and show the character of faith. But before we do that, let me read something to you here from the New Testament, and you can get this if you like, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, speaking of believers in Christ as he teaches his disciples in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ye, speaking of his disciples, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For he says, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle, those are little punctuations in the Hebrew, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now what Jesus is saying there, the people who were the leaders, the rulers of Israel, the scribes and the Pharisees, said they were the greatest folks around. Oh, when we walk in, you might as well bow down and say they walk behind us 4 steps because we're so holy. So much of that goes on today. And whoever's in charge really is not giving people the truth. So you got to understand, folks who are in leadership are not necessarily godly people. At that time, these people should have known that the Messiah was coming. God had published it, and they had it, and they were the keepers of his word from Moses to Malachi. Yet God showed up on the scene, God the Son, as he had promised in prolific detail all the way from Moses to Malachi. And what did they do? They found him guilty and crucified him on a tree. So I want you to understand from that, beloved, that people who are in charge, just because they have been given the opportunity to have political power, doesn't mean that they're right. And I don't know what these other folks are saying. I've been hearing an awful lot of it, and it gets on my nerves. That's why I wanted to go here. And the Spirit convicted me to talk with the people, those who trust and believe in Christ, who he said, if you believe in me, let your light so shine that you may men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And your righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who were the folks in charge at that time. Just like today, we got folks in charge. Their teachings, their doctrines, their laws defy that which God has written. And they have even outlawed God. Take his word out. We don't need it. Take out his 10 commandments. We don't need it. We can get along without it. And look how that's working. That ain't working so well for you, is it? Do you want to know why we have hatred among races and nationalities, and why things are unfair and skewed for the righteous, for the rich, let me say, not the righteous? People say they're righteous. They profess righteousness, but they are not, because you cannot be righteous apart from Christ. And I'm not trying to judge anyone. I'm just saying you cannot have a rule of law and expect to be justified by that, because you know why? It's not perfect. The one way to be perfect is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are ashamed of him, he is ashamed of you. And that's the truth. So Jesus said, a city set up on a hill cannot be hid. If you trust in him, then you will exude a light from God that will be attractive to others that hear you and see your life and see the witness that you have. And so that's what he said here. Your righteousness must exceed, Matthew 5:20, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, or you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Faith in Christ gives you power to live a more correct life. Doesn't mean you can live a perfect life, because the truth is all of us stumble. We all need coverage. We all need forgiveness. We all need mercy. Jesus is the mercy of God. He is the forgiveness of God. He has come in order to give you and me an opportunity to be able to do things right. You know, a part of doing right is confessing that you don't do everything right, that you do have sin, that you do need to repent, that you don't do stuff according to God's law, which is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, it says in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm number 19, and so many other places. The law is holy, just, and good, Paul said in Romans. The fact is, we are not. That's the big issue. The issue is my spirit is twisted and corrupted from birth, just like Abel, and actually Cain, we would say in that case, who had a spirit of murder in his heart toward his own brother because he wanted to be justified himself, and he did not understand and acknowledge God's way of salvation. We'll see that in a minute here. So I want you to understand, God loves you. One way to be saved, and it doesn't require your absolute perfection. It requires your faith in Messiah Jesus the Christ, who has paid the ultimate sacrifice of his own life in order to give me and you righteousness that we could never produce on our own. That's why you can't afford not to mention him or give him all the credit for any kind of salvation that there is. And now let's go to Hebrews real quick here. In fact, let me back up. I want to back up and pick up a passage here in the Psalms that I would like to include in our thinking here today. Psalms number 46 says this in verse 1. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the sea. In other words, cataclysmic things can happen and we shall not fear. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted, and the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He goes on to say, come and behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, in that psalm, you can see the psalmist, no matter what the situation was that he was going through, was trusting in Almighty God. He says, God is the one. Yes, does he allow wars? Yes, he does. Does he allow famine? Yes, he does. Does he allow plagues? Yes, he does. But he takes his people through it all by faith. And you and I can persevere when we trust God and believe that he has given us his word. He will be with us in trouble. He says, I'm not going to take you out of the trouble. I'm going to take you through the trouble. Hallelujah. So he's going to get you through whatever you're dealing with. But back to our current issue, Jesus said, you are a city that is set on a hill. In other words, I am setting you up so that the world can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So without Christ, we can't do anything. So let's look at the character real quick as we have time here. Let's see how we're doing on time. To see this Hebrews 11 passage, which I think is an extreme blessing in so many ways. And I want you to see something about it here. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is evidence of things that you cannot see. Now people ask you, well, how do you know these things are true? And the answer is by faith. We understand it because God has given us his Holy Spirit. When he raised Jesus from the dead and we trusted and believed in him, God fills in everyone and you are born again of the Spirit of God so that you have the ability to see what God is doing and what he has done and how you are, in other words, incorporate things in your life right now into what you need to do in order to walk by faith, in other words, trusting what God has said. For by it, speaking of faith, the elders obtained a good report. Our good report comes because we believe God. We trust him. We trust his word. His word says that we believe it and we walk in it the best we can. If we don't, we confess it and say that we have sinned. And God washes us, cleanses us, forgives us, and gives us another opportunity to keep on walking day by day. So the Christian life is not about acting as though we're totally righteous and without any sin. It's actually confessing that we have sinned and that we do sin, but God has loved us and has given his son, Jesus, to pay the bill. And so Christ is always going to be in the quotient. He's going to be in the process that we have to go through in order to be a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. It's not saying, oh, I've lived perfectly and I do everything right and I'm this, that, or the other. It's nothing like that. No boast or pride about how you are. It's to say that I am weak and I have fallen and I have sinned and I don't do everything right, but God loves me anyway. And he gave his son to be crucified for me. And his son has died for me and paid, shed his blood and paid my bill entirely. So that if I trust in him, God will always grant me the mercy that he has promised. And why he is faithful. That's the thing you and I have to see. And so we live in a time when people want to act like they're all that in a bag of chips, but they haven't realized it. No, the scripture says you are fallen, you are corrupted, you need Jesus every second of every day. And so God has given him and supplied him so that those who speak the truth, which is his word, and will have a pathway toward doing righteousness every day, and you will be on an increasingly better way of life every day, that you will become more like Christ and less like you used to be. And that's the good news. Amen. Looking in Hebrews, we can see it. He says that the elders obtained a good report. Notice this, through faith we understand that the world's We're framed by the word of God. In other words, we believe God created all things so that things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. In other words, God spoke and out of nothing, everything came into existence. And if you really are a believer, you believe in what the Latin term ex nihilo, and you don't have to remember that for the test, but it means out of nothing, God spoke. And things that are made did appear. And we can talk about that more in detail. Got some more to say later in the week on that. But so notice, he goes right to the people of faith here in 11:4. He says here, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See that? Righteousness was offering God the sacrifice that he required, just as it is now. The sacrifice God requires today for me and you is faith in Jesus Christ, who was crucified and died for your sins, rose from the dead to prove that he had suffered the penalty of death for us, and that he himself knew no sin, but he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the truth. And so when we trust him and believe God's word, then we shall be saved. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that anyone can be saved. And think about this. I'm going to add this back to my previous statement I made about Yom Kippur. That was the real day of atonement, and sin has been atoned for entirely, period. At one moment in time, that's the only time that God has ever been satisfied, and it's the only time that he needs to be satisfied. In other words, he's satisfied by Christ and his work alone, not by works of righteousness that we have done, Titus 3:5 says, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. God has made the way for righteousness to be given to those who believe the truth. And you and I see this, embrace it, and receive it all by faith. So faith is that connecting force, let's call it, between us and God, the fact that we believe him and that it's accounted to us for righteousness as it had been with Abraham, with Abel, so on and so forth. Now notice what it says in Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know how you please God? Believe him. Not be ashamed of him. Confess him. Whatever he said, that I agree and I understand it. Know that he has given you his entire word. It's right there from Genesis to Revelation. The entire word of God. You and I are blessed to have that. These people believed God before he had written his word. Understand that. These are people who knew him through other association, but not from a written word like you and I have. We have the full revelation of God from his word, and history and time is all wrapped around it, and you and I can believe and trust in Christ and know that we are saved. Amen. Moving on, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, so we want to seek a better relationship with God because we are a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. But we will improve our presence before other people by our faith in God and as we walk and grow in the truth of God. See, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, so you and I become more free every day as we study the word and pray, seek his face, confess him openly, confess our sins, and ask his forgiveness. And we have fellowship with him and with one another day by day. So that's what helps other people understand. And that's why I want you to know, if you're listening today and you're hearing this for the first time, God loves you. He sent his son for you. And if you accept Jesus to be your savior, you shall be saved. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. The problem of death swallowed up in victory already for you by faith. So let's move on, looking at these witnesses here. It's impossible to please him without faith, for those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice this, by faith Noah, being warned of God. God warned Noah directly of things that's not yet seen, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. When you trust God, condemnation is on the world. You know why? There's a lot of folks in the world now. They have another standard, not the one God has set. And so when we proclaim the truth that God has said, they're automatically condemned because they don't trust and believe what God says. But God doesn't want people to be condemned, and you and I get the privilege to tell those who are trying to trust in other systems, no matter what it is, whether it be politics or phony religion or sacraments or rituals or whatever it is, that will never make you right with God. One way to be right with God, and that is by His grace. In other words, you don't deserve it. You can't do anything to make yourself earn it. There are no ceremonies or anything you can go through to remove the stain and the guilt of your sin. The only way you can get rid of it is trust Christ. And God has already given him and set him forth to be a propitiation. That means a full satisfaction on his terms for all of your sin. See, believing in Jesus Christ and learning his word and walking by faith and not by sight. This is what gets a person into a better circumstance. And you're on the right track when you trust God and believe that he has raised Jesus from the dead. So Noah was warned by God and by his building that ark in the midst of where he was when there had been no rain, and no reason why you would do that. There was no waters out of control, none of that kind of stuff. He also showed by faith that he was righteous by his faith in God. He trusted what God said. Moving on, notice this, by faith Abraham. Now he moves all the way from Noah, which was before the flood, to the time after the ark settled, men began to multiply upon the earth, to Abraham. He says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Look at that. He departed from his country. God told him, get you out of your country and away from your kindred, out of your father's house. Come to a land that I'll show you. I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And Abraham believed God, and he got out. He left by faith. You know, he left everything that he was depending on up to that point in his life at the age of 75 and went out because God said, come over here, I'll show you where on the way. You don't even know where you're going, but just come on, let me show you, and I'll bless you and make your name great. One of the greatest names on earth in the history of humanity is the name of Abraham. And you can trust that God always keeps his word. Abraham, the scripture later on says in Hebrews, he dwelled in tents. That means temporary dwellings with Isaac and Jacob, who were also fellow heirs of the same faith, trusting in God, who had given them salvation. See, why, how? By his promise. And it says that he died in faith, not having received the promise, but welcomed it from afar off. So trusting God and believing him for his future promises gives you and me a status in the world right now that we are a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. Your countenance will look beautiful and have a glowing appearance, or so to speak, because God has blessed you and given you his spirit. You and I on this side of the cross enjoy being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit. In other words, God has given his Holy Spirit to you in order to illuminate the things of God on the inside of your mind, to give you peace that passeth all understanding, to teach you and instruct you. He is the anointing that we have from the Father, 1 John 2:27. That, in other words, so that he can internally instruct us and give us faith to believe what God has written and all of that. And then you and I get the privilege of being illuminated by the Holy Spirit so that other people can see the work that God is doing in your life and mine. And that is giving you an illumination from God, making you a city that is set up on the hill that cannot be hid. So don't get into the kind of stuff you see. You got to pray your way through everything today. That's what I'm finding out. Because I find myself getting irritated in the flesh when I start to see stuff, that kind of stuff we're seeing every day. The injustice that's in the world, it's amazing. And the only way it can be dealt with is not going to be from protesting and militants and all that. And if you want to do that, go ahead. But the fact is, I would rather tell you the gospel, because without Christ, you can't do anything. You will never be able to love your enemy unless you get saved. You will never be able to love a lot of people for different reasons. We have reasons why we have animosity and stuff against other people. But God will give you a spirit that's neutral on all that. If you trust in Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, you won't find yourself hating people because of their nationality or their anything, no characteristic that they may have. you'll be able to love people even like God does, because he has called us to love others the way he loved us. Amen. So looking on here, one thing else I want you to see, Abraham is leaving out of his country. He went out not knowing whether he went. Verse 9 says, but by faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now notice this, for he looked for a city which foundations had foundations whose builder and maker is God. God has a city that he's preparing for me and you, who are a city that's set up on a hill. We are in another realm of people on earth if you trust Christ and believe God is raising from the dead. If you are not ashamed of the gospel, like Paul said, Romans 1:16, and you are willing to profess him as you go about your life, then the Bible says you shall be saved. And this puts you in that category, Jesus said, that a city that is set up on a hill cannot be hid. I'm giving you an illumination from within because you're at peace with God. And if you have peace with God, which can only be attained by faith in his son, Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, he wants you to have that peace that passeth all understanding. And so that you can reflect his glory. That's what we do. When we trust Christ, people can see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And that's what Jesus' instruction was to his disciples. Be a person of truth. Be a person who acknowledges the good news that God has given Jesus the Christ. Give the credit where it belongs, to God and through his son, Jesus the Christ. There's no saying you know God if you don't know Jesus. And understand that, because Jesus said that. If you are not willing to own me before men or confess me before men, neither will I be willing to confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Got a lot of people talking about God, but if they don't know God at all, according to Jesus. Because he said, he who is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He who does not gather with me, in other words, we're out here gathering souls, let them know that God loves you like you are. He gave his son for you, so that if you believe him and become a disciple of his, he will take care of your instruction. He will take care of what you need to know. He will give you, feed you every day on knowledge and understanding. He will give you faith to understand things that you cannot otherwise understand, and apart from knowledge of Christ, and make you a city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. So these people actually look for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. God is preparing a city for us. Jesus said it this way, as he departed, pardon me. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we say that verse a lot at funerals, but I love it right now, today. And I love it because he said, I'm going to prepare a city, a place for you, so that when I return, I will snatch you up and you will be with me forever. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to that. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's the only one who could have told us how things were. And he's going to prepare a place for you and me who believe in him and believe that he rose from the dead by the glory of the Father. Amen. And he is now seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Making intercession for people like me who need it and are willing to admit that I need it. And I'm looking forward to that time when I can reconnect with him. Amen. So moving on, he says, they look for this city whose has foundations, whose builder maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So it's about believing God's promises and understanding them every day in everyday affairs. Therefore, he says, sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, speaking about Abraham, as many as the stars of the sky, for multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. No more than you can count the grains of sand on the beach can you count the descendants of Abraham physically and spiritually. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, we don't get hung up in locking into a bunch of stuff on earth. We understand our mission is to share the good news with the world, not just with America, with the world. You and I are world missionaries. We're reaching out into the world, and we're proclaiming this good news to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, people, that there will be a new heaven, and it will be a city that has been prepared by God, that has been paid for by the blood of Jesus for those who trust and believe in him. And if you are one of them, you shall be saved. If you're not, we want you to do it right now. We want to persuade you today and plead with you. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Amen. We have a good, clear, easy message. It's easy to preach, but it was difficult to attain. But for God, nothing is difficult. He did the most impossible thing, giving his own son who did not sin through the whole turmoil and the grief that he went through, in order to satisfy God so that wretches like me and you can be saved. And so we want to preach him and let you know that we are not ashamed of the gospel. Moving on in Hebrews 11, we got to get one more spot here before we can wrap this up. He says here, moving on, verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, you could get stuck where you were. Suppose Abraham said, let me go back to Ur. That would have been a mistake. Abraham said, nope, not going back there. He didn't even go back when he wanted to get a bride for his son. He sent his servant, Eliezer, to go back and get Rebekah and bring her back for his son. You see what I'm saying? So set your mind, like Paul told the Colossians, on things above, not on things on the earth. He says, for you have died. That old way of life is dead. And he says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So start to think on the heavenly things. Set your mind on heavenly things. Don't let the earthly stuff frustrate you. It's easy to get frustrated down here. I notice I find myself slipping into it with all the kind of hogwash that you see. And let me tell y'all a secret about hogwash before I close. Hogs don't even like it. It's hogwash, but hogs don't want to be washed. They want to be dirty. So that's why, and that's a joke, of course. But I preach unto you the good news today that God loves you. He made a way for you. If you trust in Christ, believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And you can be a part of that great cloud of witnesses, which is looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. In Hebrews 11:16, got to go here, for God has prepared for them a city, it says at the end of verse 16. But now they desire a better country. This is an heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hallelujah. The city of God is being prepared for me and you by Christ, who said he's going to prepare a place for us. You see, that where he is, there we may be also. In verse 16 in Hebrews, you may want to take a highlighter and write that down. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. See, he went to the full extreme. I'm going to trust you all the way, oh God. And that he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. That's the son God promised him. Took him 25 years to deliver. And God said, put him on the altar. Abraham, you know what? Abraham trusted God so much by then that he took his own son, who was a type of Christ in that figure of time. In other words, it was his only son that he had by his wife, Sarah, even though he had had Ishmael before. And that lets you see that sometimes we make errors along the road walking with God. But it doesn't mean God throws us out. Abraham didn't get thrown out. He continued on. And by faith, he was willing to offer that son. He waited so long to really get him. You see that? And he put him on the altar and was about to slay him. And in his mind, he said, God will have to raise him from the dead, because he promised me that in Isaac shall my seed be called. And so that whole thing, read it in Genesis 22 if you want all the notes on that. The fact is, Abraham trusted God with his only son. And God was trying to show him ahead of time that it'll be through your seed when the fullness of time will come. And he took him to the very spot where Jesus was crucified. Yeah, many generations later, I would say it would have to be 42 generations from the time of Abraham till the time of Christ. And then Paul in Romans, I see my time's really slipped away on me here today. In the time of Christ, Paul said that he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Paul had to realize that while he was on the Damascus Road, that God had given his son Jesus and that the gospel is true. And I see my time is gone. I love you guys. I would like to help you with this, but I want you to know this before we dismiss that you are a city set up on a hill. If you trust and believe in the name of Jesus the Christ, keep doing it. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't let the political climate and all the different stuff you hear saying, anybody who tries to ascribe something to that that's worth any more than what we know it is, don't let it be like water right off a duck's back. We trust in God Almighty, who has given his own son, Jesus Christ, who has loved us with an everlasting love. He raised him out the dead. That's what excites me. Y'all know that. If you know me, you know I'm excited about the resurrection, because it's proof that he is the only one that has an answer to the problem of death, which is the greatest pain and misery that we can ever experience here, seeing our loved ones die, and even ourselves when that time comes. But that solution has been provided by Jesus Christ, and you don't even have to worry. That's why Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Hallelujah, our time is up. Be that city that's set up on a hill that cannot be hid. God loves you. I want to remind you about anchor.fm/Landis-Fisher. I'll have a link on our website, teachingbible.org, that you can click to our podcast and share that with your Facebook family, friends, and neighbors, relatives, even your enemies. Amen. So that they can hear a word as they're going about their day in their car, on their cell phone, in the park, wherever you are. And realize that we need your prayers, and we thank you for your support. Many of you support this ministry, and we thank God for you that you have been willing and able to do that. Amen. So we're not going to keep any longer. This Lord's Day, meditate on the fact that he has made us a city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. We love you. We pray for you. And we thank God for you. And so we ask you to pray for us as well. Amen. God bless you.